Regeneration is the action or process of being reformed, regrown, or created again, restoring lost or injured aspects of oneself. Join Josh and Kit each week as they discuss what it looks like to seek and to find Jesus in the areas of identity, intimacy, and sexuality. If you'd like to discover God's design for your life and how to live it out, this podcast is definitely for you.
Here's the deal. We want to talk about romance today. We've just gotten off of Valentine's Day, and a lot of us are thinking about, or were thinking about, romance. And honestly, Valentine's Day is a holiday I don't like. And it's not because I don't like being romantic. It's because what I see of it doesn't feel like, I don't know, it doesn't feel authentic. It feels kind of fabricated in some way.
Yeah. And it's like you know, this order, be romantic. Today's the day.
Yeah. So we want to talk about romance because it's important. God romances us. Romance is a part of being a human being. It's a part of the longing of the heart. It's a part of the longing of the person. But I think there's some misunderstandings about what romance really is, and I got some ideas about that. But Kit, why don't you, like, what do you, when you think that, like, Valentine's Day or the way that the culture frames up romance, what are they typically doing or talking about? What does it look like?
Well, what I hear people talking about is, well, where are you having dinner on Valentine's Day? So making reservations at some special restaurant.
Yeah, you go to a romantic restaurant.
Go to a romantic restaurant. Yeah. Have a really special meal.
The lights are dim.
Yes, candlelight with the lights being dimmed, staring into each other's eyes. Everything's just, you know, all about how wonderful love is, and you just talk all night about it.
Talking all night about what love is does not sound romantic to me. And I think for a lot of people in our culture, it leads to the end, whatever you're doing, the chocolate, the romance, the flowers, the music, the dancing, the end goal is sex. And this is all just foreplay. It's all just to get person A and person B in the mood for sex, and that's kind of the goal.
Yep.
I think there's something pressureful about that is not very romantic.
Yes. Gosh, yes. It doesn't sound like an invitation. It doesn't sound like this, you know, lovely kind of let's live in the present moment and see what happens and inviting each other into intimacy. It sounds like this setup.
There's not much room for error.
Right.
How many times on Valentine's Day or whatever the romantic occasion is, you're like, oh, crap. Like, now we're not in the mood. Like, because something went sideways or south, or the meal stunk or the car got stolen or, you know, whatever. Flat tire. That doesn't – all right. So let's reframe. Oh, and here's – we should say this too. I think – honestly, I think that in a lot of the world today, a lot of – in our culture, that there is this almost like this expectation. So it's not only – does it not feel invitational, but it like, hey, you owe me this. Like, I took you to dinner. I got you this. We did this. Like, this is what we need to do. Like, because it's Valentine's Day or because it's, you know, it's – Friday night or whatever.
Yes, yes.
And that being framed up as romance is actually an assault on what it means to be human. So So let's talk about we want to redefine romance. We want to talk about it from a different angle. And I think a more biblical, a more godlike angle. Mm-hmm. And I don't take credit for this because this was not my idea. I heard this from somebody else and I can't remember who. So if you're listening and it's you, like hat tip to you and let me know and we'll give you credit in another podcast. But here's a different definition of romance, a different way to approach romance that I think is really good and helpful. It's pursuing another person's heart. Specifically, it's getting to know another person's heart and then doing something to pursue the good or the nourishment of that person's heart. So getting to know their heart and then doing something for the good of that person's heart.
Mm.
And
I
know there might be some people listening going, well, no, actually, you know, the chocolates, the night out, that sounds more romantic to me, and I'm happy just getting in the mood for sex. Like, I'd respond to that actually by saying, like, first of all, in most romantic relationships, in true romantic relationships, it's not all about you, and so there might be another person who would feel differently than you do. And then secondly, could it be that your hunger for that, for, you know, to do something that ends in sex, your hunger for that beautiful evening that we've just described is actually rooted in a deeper longing inside of you? And I base that question really on my experience as I walk with so many people through our ministry who are wrestling with addictions and broken relationships And part of what they uncover as they look at their patterns is I actually was looking for something deeper. I was mm-hmm. looking for someone to know my heart. I was looking to know someone in a deeper way than just sex, or deeper way than just that evening out. So
yeah.
So here comes the challenge, though. Getting to know another person's heart is actually a lot harder work than taking them out to dinner and having someone cook them a beautiful meal, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Okay, what does it take to know a person's heart, to get to know a person's heart?
Time. You know, it takes time. You can't be rushing through life and being like, hey, you know, you just like time to have conversation, to understand them. It's you know, it's interesting when you were talking, I was like, it's knowing them and it's understanding them. Hmm. You know?
What's the difference? How do you?
Well, I guess, you know, maybe if I feel like, does Greg know me, or do my friends know me? Yeah. They know me. They know about me. Do they understand me? Have they made an effort to understand me? Hmm. Maybe some more than others. And I think over time, we've been learning how to do that. And I think about clients that I talk about in their marriages, and talk about their marriages, and they talk about that really desire to be understood, because they're different people. And so to take the time to understand someone, who are they? What makes them tick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even as you say that, I'm like, yeah, I want that. I mm-hmm. want people to be understanding. I was talking to somebody recently about, we were talking about sharing these passionate parts of our life, things we're passionate about in life. And each of us have experienced times where, like, we you know, we're sharing that with somebody. We're like, yeah, this. And the other person's like, yeah, cool. You know, pass the pretzels. It's like, it doesn't really go. And you're like, oh,
right.
Really? I want to be understood. I want you to kind of get a glimpse of what's inside that is, you know, is the fire in me, or that makes me come alive.
And to ask good questions. I mean, I think I really appreciate it when I can tell that someone maybe isn't necessarily being like, oh, I feel that too. Oh, I totally feel that too. But they're like, oh, tell me more about that. They're leaning in. They're trying to understand because maybe it's different than them. That's very much a gift to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. I mean, that's actually, like, I'm okay with that. You don't need to be just like me.
Right, right.
But, man, that you would be interested and want to know me and want to understand what makes me uniquely. And
that's romantic.
And be excited about the things that make me come alive. Like,
yeah.
Not in a patronizing way.
But no, in a real genuine way.
I think, you know, one thing is that we haven't said yet that I think bears saying is that there is a, there's a unique language of the heart. Like, the heart has a different kind of topography than your typical day does, right? You can't – you may be able to learn about somebody's day, and that requires a certain kind of – you know, a certain map to get there. And it's pretty standard. Like, hey, tell me how your day went, or hey, how'd the game go, or hey, you know. But to get to know somebody's heart, there's a different way. And you mentioned questions, and you mentioned listening and leaning in, an interest level in kind of understanding a person. I think – in my experience, like the heart is more skittish than the facts about our day.
Oh yeah,
and in different ways for different people. Like you can't like I could call somebody else and say, hey, tell me what happened in Kit's day, you know, or you could find that information, but you can't just open the door of somebody else's heart if they don't want it opened, and not just any kind of knocking on that door will open it.
And I think, you know, I've heard this question, which I think would work for some people. I don't think it would work as well for others. But this idea of, instead of just saying, hey, how you doing? You know, saying, how's your heart? I think that would work for some people. That'd probably work for me. I think for other people, that would feel a little awkward. So another question would be, when someone's talking to you about their day, how was that for you? Mm-hmm. You know, then it gets a little bit deeper into, what's your experience? What did you feel? You know, how was that for you? And so being able to just ask questions that don't put someone on the defensive, but just show that you are really interested in understanding a deeper level of who they are.
All right, let me back up though, because even as you're saying that, I'm like, no, we're missing something still. Like,
okay.
Because not just anybody can come up to you and ask that question. So in the area of romance, in the area of and not even just any day. I mean, like, what has to happen
before
that?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just take you and Greg for a minute, your husband.
Yeah.
So, you know, Greg comes up to you, like, what would be the conditions where if he says, hey, how's your heart? You'd be like, uh-uh, nope, not opening that door. And what would be the conditions where you'd be like, Yeah. I mean, what is it about Greg that you know, or what is it about Greg sometimes? You're like, yeah, this is a good time. I want to open my heart to you.
Yeah, I guess it would be honestly, I would appreciate that question anytime, but I think probably space, you know, just like you wouldn't just be doing it on the run, that it wouldn't be just any kind of a manipulative sort of question. It would be a, hey, I really mean this. Let's talk about how you are. Let's talk about your heart.
Yeah, you have to be convinced, like the other person
sincere.
Really wants to know.
Yes.
And that there's going to be, and the whatever response you're going to get is not going to, it's going to respect what you just opened to them.
Like, yes.
So I'm
a safe place. That's good.
Remember a story, like once I was talking to a friend of mine and he asked, he's like, hey, how are you? And I told him how I was and I wasn't doing well. And his response was so dismissive. It was kind of this trite, like, yeah, but in the Lord, you're good, right? And I was just like, oh, you know, I just felt like, okay, close that door. Like, you know, I'll stand behind it on the side. Like, and obviously like that wasn't a romantic relationship, but my point is like I need to know, or need to at least have some good evidence that when I open my heart, the other person's going to be, they're going to be able to receive it.
Yeah.
So I think time matters there too. Like, you know, if you're rushing out the door or you're in a hurry, like that's not a way to romance my heart or romance another person's heart. So maybe there's a track record that needs to be in there too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, do I know you enough? Do I trust you? Have you shown yourself to be someone safe? And this comes back to, maybe we didn't say this either. Like, you can't actually pursue the topography of another person's heart. You can't pursue another person's heart unless you've actually know the topography of your own heart.
Yes.
You have to have done some heart work yourself in order to be trustworthy with another person's heart. Because if you've never, like, even begun to map out what your heart is like, then how on earth are you going to, like, respect and honor what comes out of somebody else's?
So what does that mean? You know, someone's listening and they're saying, what do I do to know my own heart? What does that mean? What does that look like?
Yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe another question is, what if I don't want to? Like, there's not much there. I just, you know,
That's scary to me.
Yeah. Right. So,
yeah.
So I mean, since we're talking about romance, maybe the question for that person is, hey, look, you know, maybe it's enough of a reason that if you really want to care for your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, like, then this is worthwhile just to do for their sake.
But yeah.
I mean, I think it's the same kind of thing. I mean, for me, I mean, honestly, I think I didn't know how to open my heart even to myself until I had people who were inviting me to do so. And so I do think that my ability to be in a really wholesome way to approach this new definition of romance with people in my life comes from people who, not in a romantic way even, but really in a platonic or caring or fatherly or motherly way, were asking me questions about my heart.
Yeah.
And they took time to listen.
Yeah. And isn't that a great thing? If it's kind of funny that people would be like, you're talking about romance and now you're talking about knowing your own heart. What's that about? But, you know, it really is true that it's an opportunity when you think about the depth of your intimacy with someone being, you know, related to the depth of your own knowing yourself, your own accepting of yourself, and to take time to have conversation with a trusted friend or mentor or spiritual coach, or read and process and reflect with God about some of these things. Like, it definitely affects our ability to be available for love and to be available to love.
And here's why. Because the heart tends to be more skittish and won't just open up to anybody. When someone begins to open their heart to you, if you've not done that kind of work, then your own heart is going to push you away from that person.
Yes.
It's going to say, I am not comfortable. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
And so it's going to start to pull back.
True.
And there are ways the other person is going to sense it, and their heart is going to respond that in kind.
That's really so true. I think that if you haven't done the work, then you're going to receive some of these questions as criticism or as invasive. Because if you're covered up, if you're like, I'm not going to some of those places, I haven't gone there, I'm not ready to go there, it's scary, and someone starts asking you about it or wanting to see it, you're going to feel defensive.
Yeah. Let's get practical. We got you know, it's in the last minutes of the podcast. Like we've said, you know, we want to redefine romance. This is not the setting that you produce so that someone gets in the mood for sexual intimacy. Although this certainly, you know, can be mm-hmm. something that would lead that way in, mm-hmm. in a marriage. But it's instead, it's understanding, it's the pursuit of another person's heart, trying to get to know them and trying to care for, to give their heart something good. And so how do we do that? I mean, what are practical ways that we get to know someone's heart? Say there's a person and they're willing, and we've established the trust, they're willing to open up their heart. What are some just simple things we can do? What are kinds of questions we can, I mean, we mentioned questions, we mentioned time. So what are the kinds of questions?
I think one really great question to ask each other is, how can I love you best? What do I do that makes you feel loved? Mm. Because it's different for everybody. And I know that one thing that I said to Greg was, you know, I would love it in the middle of the day or before you leave, you know, like, to, you know, give me a hug. Give me a real hug, not a passing hug, not a like, see you later, but a real hug. Like that matters to me. At the end of the day, beginning of the day, in the middle of the day, like just an intentional, really like, I see you, I'm looking at you, I'm holding you, I'm present with you.
Mm, yeah.
So that's one thing that I think for me and for Greg, he's said a lot of things about things that I can do for him, like give him time. Even though that's weird, you're like, that's romantic. But it's not just the moment that's romantic. It's what you do leading up to understanding and respecting them that I think can also play into it.
So part of what you're bringing up is that different people, like the knock that their heart opens to is different.
Yeah. And know what that is for your partner.
And so the question, how can I love you, is a question of like, how can I – like what kind of way can I knock on your heart?
Yeah, that works for you.
That works for you, yeah. Mm-hmm. And for some, it might be, you know, you know what? Like, the sitting down eye to eye doesn't really do it for me. Like, can we go for a hike? Can we go for a walk?
What are other things that we could do, questions we could ask?
So I think one thing for me is a willingness to listen and take the time to hear without thinking about how what the person's saying, stir something in you or what it means to you or what you would say to that question, or even, you know, considering what was my follow-up question, you know, so just even leaving that room for like, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to listen. And then whatever you say, I'm going to seek to ask more about that. And it can even be as simple, like, well, would you tell me more about that? Or I don't entirely understand. Would you help me understand a little bit more? Like when you said this, what does that mean to you?
I really love this. This is going to be like, people are like, what? But being listened to is romantic to me. Hmm. It is. Hmm. Like, I think that's a significant thing that, again, it's back to being understood and known.
Yeah.
And if someone's really sincerely listening to you, first of all, we don't do that very often and very well to one another. So I think that's a significant thing. You know, have a legitimate conversation where you're actually listening to somebody could be very romantic.
So one of the things I've done I'm going to give one example that I've done with my wife and one example I did with one of my daughters, and I'll explain why. But I'm not necessarily always attuned to this. I get busy in my own head, in my own life. And so So in setting aside time, one of the things I've done is actually brought a list of questions. Mm-hmm. And I've been explicit about it. I'm not hiding it. You know, it's not written on my arm. You know, like, hey, I wrote some questions down that I want to ask you. And so I could take time ahead of time to frame up. These are things that I don't know about you that I'd love to know about you. And so questions about my wife's childhood, what she experienced. I remember at one point, like, seeing some pictures of her when she was a kid that gave me an impression about what she was like. And I wanted to check in with her about those things. And it was really sweet. It was kind of a sweet time for us to kind of get to know each other better. And then with one of my daughters, we were actually on a road trip together and really kind of wrestling with the conversation. And so on the spur of the moment, I had this idea, and it ended up working really well. I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a game. And we framed it that way. So it took some of the pressure off. I said, you're going to come up with one topic, and I'm going to ask you two questions about that topic. And then you're going to ask me to come up with a topic, and you're going to ask me two questions. And that's it. And the topic could be something obvious or something very like plain. So like, for example, you know, like it could be sports, it could be shapes, it could be smells. And then the idea was just get creative about the kind of question. The question can be light or it can be deep. And so say the question, you know, so the topic is smells. What's one smell that you remember, that you have a memory around related to a time that you that
yeah.
you just can.
Yeah.
So now she's talking about something. Or what's the smell that just grosses you out beyond belief? You know, so it was you know, it was kind of just this mix of stuff, and then it was her turn, and we ended up having these really great conversations, and sometimes we kind of would riff off the game and kind of end up talking about something else.
That's great.
Just kind of trying to get to know each other, to know each other's hearts in some way.
So two things come to my mind about that. One is a book that John Gottman wrote called 8 Dates, and it's about 8 dates and questions that you can ask one another, and they're, you know, creative and clever, and I took a picture of the eight questions so that I could keep them on my phone so that, you know, when Greg and I are together, I can be like, you know, ask something creative, something a little bit different, something.
Yeah, nice.
And the other thing that came to my mind was have fun together.
Yeah.
Like, really, that's so important. Be lighthearted, you know.
yeah.
Right. It's not all about serious conversation. It can also be really laughter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some of the best times that we have are just laughing.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget the reality that, like, our hearts love to have fun and to rejoice and to delight.
Yes.
I mean, sunsets and music are the language of the heart, for crying out loud, for a reason. So, yeah, it's not all serious and somber. And I hope people aren't hearing it that way.
Right.
And some of these questions and these conversations have been some of the most delightful, uproarious times too. So
it's really important.
So let me close with this thought as we're talking. I didn't think about this ahead of time, but really that initial idea of you know, you set the scene and kind of make it romantic and the candles and the blah, 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 so that it ends in sex. Like, that's not bad. We're not trying to say that's bad.
Yeah.
But we're trying to say there's a better way that's a more holistic approach to romance that does take more work, but that is in the end more fruitful and more meaningful, and actually, in the end, to be honest, also leads to a better sex life with your spouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Deeper intimacy, for sure.
So the first is kind of saying, like, how do we get to the place where we're taking our clothes off? The second definition, though, what we're talking about is how do we help each other to expose our hearts, for our hearts to get naked with one another?
Mm-hmm.
Could anything be more vulnerable,
romantic.
More romantic, mm-hmm. more loving?
And so to feel safe being having your heart be naked with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are corollaries between those two and more we could say about that. But we hope that just gives you something to chew on
mm-hmm.
on this post-Valentine's Day, whatever your Valentine's Day was like. But as we pursue deep and meaningful relationships, and we've been talking about romance, of course, these apply to all sorts of things, even friendships. But we hope this has been helpful to you today. So Jesus, we just turn to you. And Lord, we acknowledge before you that our hearts are hungry to be known, and we are hungry to know one another. And Lord, all of this points to your deep and emphatic romance of us, that you pursue our hearts because you deeply love us, heart and body. So Lord, we present these things to you in Jesus' name, amen.
Hey everybody, thanks for joining us this week on the Regeneration Podcast. Please make sure to visit our website at regenerationministries.org, where you can subscribe to the show in Apple or Google Podcasts and even Spotify, so you'll never miss another one. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out a lot. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week.